Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Listen, you're very welcome to give us a call and comments on all of the stories that we're touching on, especially one that touches you in your studio, 086-00-00959. You can also send a voice note on 063-688-0959. You obviously heard my conversation with the acting police commissioner in the Northwest. You know, what did you make of that conversation? Do you believe that they will catch Tiger once and for all? I'd love to hear from you. And if you've been watching this tribunal, I'm really, really keen to hear what you have to say. Of course, I've been following the story quite closely, but the one thing that always stands out for me, you would recognize this if you've been watching, the comment line. Oh my word, the comment line is busy. It's very, very busy. So clearly, there's some traction there. Let me just bring in our legal expert today, as usual, trying to help us understand a few things here and there. Legal expert Mpumelelo Zikalala, thanks again for making time for us. Good evening.
Good evening, journalists. Good evening to our listeners.
Okay, so we have obviously been watching this tribunal, Eastern and Cape High Court Judge President Selby Mbenenge, and the being accused, obviously, of sexual harassment by the Secretary of the High Court. I want to just maybe ask, a few things have propped up today, particularly, that I think we need help on. Is there criteria in allowing a case to proceed and it going to the level where we are at now, where there is an actual tribunal that can take place?
Now we have to look at it from the policies that are there, and maybe let's not compare it to a criminal matter.
Yes.
In this case, it's just
a tribunal.
Yeah, it's a tribunal on a balance of probabilities, and I, as the acceptor of the complaint, I cannot take a decision to say that the complaint is valid or not, hence I'm going to send it over to the tribunal. So once it gets there, that's where the level of investigation is going to take place. That's where the parties are going to have an opportunity in order to present their case and be able to deal with certain things, which is why you'd find that the rules are a bit relaxed in terms of the processes that are there and what can and cannot be said. And you find that it's only at the tribunal in which various verification processes and instances have taken place, unlike in a criminal matter where you wouldn't find the matter going to court if there hasn't been any proper investigation taking place.
Okay. I ask you this because today a few things came up about the statements and what statements were submitted and the involvement of former Chief Justice Zondo and him saying we need a redraft of a statement. Maybe explain what parameters he was using and was working within, and if that's allowed.
Strictly speaking, that is not allowed because I'm not allowed to doctor or add anything else to what the complaint that has been made.
I, as
the supervisor of a certain individual, is to say the certain information that I've received, that information warrants that I do open up an investigation process or a tribunal. So that's exactly what I'm going to do, without looking in any further, in other aspects that are there. And then I must end it there. Now, to then come back and say, go and redraft this particular statement, unless the redrafting is purely on a technical level, I'm not going to touch the merits of the matter. I'm simply going to say, maybe you should have added in where you have written your name. That's when you were supposed to write the nature of the...
Oh, we've lost Mpumelelo. Mpumelelo, we've lost him. I think we'll try and get him back on a line. Of course, you know, there are a few things that we will not be able to get into. But I think it's important for us to understand a few legal issues so that you and I, when we follow, you know, you can keep your eyes and your ears close to whatever set you're using to listen in or to watch. Because those things, I think, will be important if you understand where they fit in, right? There are a couple of things that I'm interested in. For instance, a so-called employee of the JC having assisted the witness in this case to drafting a statement. I think that's interesting, and I wonder whether it's an issue. There is an issue, obviously, as I said, where former Chief Justice had asked for a redraft of a statement. I want to know whether that is you know, whether that is allowed, permissible, and what that means. And I want to know whether procedurally there are things that may have happened here that will call for the dismissal of this entire tribunal. That's what I'm really interested in. So we've got Mpumelelo back online. Mpumelelo, thanks again for reconnecting with us. I think you and I left it where we were discussing what the parameters were, for instance, for the Chief Justice to have asked for a statement to be redrawn.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. My apologies about earlier.
Sure.
Now, you see, it ought to have been purely on a technical basis, not on the merits. Mm. So the Chief Justice is going to say, I'm simply going to listen to your complaint, accept it as it is, give you ample time and information so that you're able to put in the complaint in its entirety, and I'm going to take that complaint and then take it to the next step. The next step being, let me try and get someone who's going to be the evidence leader that you're going to consult with, that are going to express all these things to. A person is going to understand what is the definition of sexual harassment and see whether the sequence of events that have taken place do really fit into the particular definition.
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, we can't hide that we are going into a contested terrain. And one of the things which are going to be argued is, what is the definition? Did the sequence of events go in accordance to the definition? And then we take it from there.
Mm-hmm.
Because only on those bases in which the Chief Justice is supposed to come in, anything else can be seen as meddling or undue influence to the complainant to say, go and complain about this individual.
Okay. A couple of other technical things I want to ask you. It does seem like one of the people that assisted the complainant to draw the statement was an employee of the AJSC. Is it just me, or does that raise some alarm bells?
It would raise that. But then it would mean that individual in any decision which is taken to this case must recuse themselves.
Mm.
Firstly, the one thing that they ought to have done is that when the matter came to them and it's sitting in front of them, it's for that individual to raise their hand and say, I've seen and dealt with this matter before. I do not think that I'm going to be objective enough, especially from a third party point of view. So please count me out in this process. And I also give you assurance that I haven't influenced any of the members that are going to take the decisions independently. And I'm not part and parcel of that process. Because once you start to poke holes into or show signs of procedural flaws, you may find that even if it's on a merit basis, the person was correct. Due to those procedural flaws, then a person would end up being found not guilty. Not because on the merit side of it, they haven't done anything wrong, simply because the merits and the substances have got to go hand in hand. So if one is missing, then it renders the whole process invalid.
All right. I think we've got everything we needed to know. Just one last one, but I'm not sure whether Justice Mbenenge was actually involved in this case. The two of them, both Justice Mbenenge and Ms. Mengo, interacted on a case, a sexual harassment case. If he was involved and presided over it, would it have been appropriate for him to discuss it with an employee, somebody else?
It's totally inappropriate. The reason why presentations are made to you as a presiding officer is that we want to get your thinking. So any discussions which are going to take place and any decision which is going, you are going to arrive at, you must do so using the law which is applicable, various case laws that are available, and also interestingly applying those too. So if you are going to be influenced by us outside individuals, then it means it's a problem. It means that they can go and discuss it publicly and get the views of individuals. Then the question would be, when the person is writing the judgment, whose views are
influenced him? Yeah.
Is that of the judge, or that independently of that particular judge or the people that they've spoken to?
Yeah, because that hasn't come up yet. So we don't know yet. I don't know personally whether he was in any way involved in this matter, but I just wanted to just clarify whether that would have been appropriate. So look, we'll wait and see. You know, we have a few more days to go, but thank you very much, Mpumelelo, for helping us understand some of these technical issues. Thank you very much for your time. There are other interest groups that have also highlighted other things with this particular case, saying, you know, while we are all watching this particular case, there are things that we should think about. And it's the power dynamics that come into play when we deal with sexual harassment cases. Member of Basadi Ba Mulao advocate Fezega Mahanu is on the line with us. We asked her to come through to just maybe highlight some of the things that I think the fraternity is discussing and things that sometimes have been, you know, going unnoticed or nobody really talks about. And this is a good opportunity to highlight those. Advocate, thank you so much for making time for us and good evening and welcome.
Thank you, Pamela, for having me and welcome to your viewers. Good evening to your viewers.
Yes, thank you. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that obviously are your daily work. And you thought it's really good to highlight these things. And as we watch, and for some it's entertainment, for some it's, you know, people are watching for different reasons. But what are the things that really concern you and that we need to be considering as we watch this particular tribunal?
For me, I've been watching, I think on the second day, I managed to tune in.
Yes.
And then, I think yesterday, I wasn't able to watch throughout the entire proceedings.
Yes.
And today, I wasn't able to connect at all.
Mm.
But for the duration, when I managed to sort of watch the, as a person who's an activist as well in the profession, mm-hmm. having held and different executive positions from South African Women Lawyers Association, Black Lawyers Association. So I've been around, you know, and we have seen a lot.
Mm.
And I can tell you one thing, the profession is very much male-dominated.
Mm.
And there's a lot of what goes with the male masculinity, the flexing, that goes around in the profession. And it is no wonder that you find, the recent statistics going back to last year towards the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
There were statistics from the bar, the general counsel of the bars, the constituent bar, where it stated that the senior counsel in the profession are just 7
black
senior counsel.
Wow.
And the white male senior counsel, 148.
Wow.
So you can see, now you're looking at an endangered species, the black female, in the state of advocate. So you have to then understand that if we are the majority in the country, but we fail to ascend the ladder, something must not be right with the system itself.
Mm.
Now, for me, what we're seeing out there, the display of everything that's going on there, the line of questioning, and how the tribunal itself is managing this, you can see a lot of insensitivity towards the complainant. Whether it's deliberate or it is just a display of how the profession has developed to be.
Mm.
The culture in the profession. So this is what I was picking up. And I couldn't help it but to feel somehow, you know, I feel for this woman.
Mm.
And as I was watching, it was like, I wondered, who else maybe going through something similar would be discouraged by the manner in which the entire tribunal setting is unfolding?
Mm. Mm.
Because so I was just concerned about the environment. Is it conducive for somebody with a complaint, whether genuine or not?
Mm-hmm.
But it's their story. It's what they believe is an infringement of their rights and their space. And I think when we look at the definition of the what's the United Nations definition around the sexual harassment, the document I came across, that was explaining that it's quite intricate.
Mm.
That document goes into length and goes into details that we as South Africans, as much as this space has developed, do not cater for certain levels, and include issues like it can be involuntary. The person could have consented for some time.
Yes.
But there's a point where the person must be given the space. And you see, generally, society not understanding this entire aspect of this sexual harassment, what it means. You can read in the comments. Then you realize there's a lot that we as a society need to be educated on. Maybe ourselves as a profession need to educate society. Maybe our legal practice council, the body that is responsible for the profession and a whole lot of other things that are happening in the profession, understanding that judiciary itself draws its resources, particularly the judges, from the fraternity. So you, what you see playing itself out there would have started at the fraternity. You see, so it's an intricate dynamic. But I think this entire saga presents an opportunity for the profession to start having the necessary discussions. It's very important because a lot of people have died in silence and many have left the profession for different reasons. Is this environment conducive for us as women?
Well, I think you're
welcoming to us as women. And if I'm a woman, I have to work with a senior judge, a senior advocate, I'm a junior counsel, single woman, and all that, and we have to work for lengthy hours because that's what comes with the profession.
The job
is lengthy hours working, even outside of normal working time. What are the protections out there? Is the adequate preparation for young entrants, younger women and men coming into the profession to protect them against sexual predators? Because such environments, we find that sexual predators also thrive in such environments. Now, what is it that has been put in place by the authorities in the fraternity to ensure that this protection is there and there's adequate preparation for those that come in, and to make the lines very clear, including the boundaries and what to do when this happens, so that whoever comes in understands that this is the kind of environment that I'm coming into. So I think it's time that we must start the necessary engagements. It's long overdue.
And where would we start? You know, how do we move this thing forward?
I believe moving forward starts with the Legal Practice Council, with all the organizations that are active, have been active, and are instrumental in the development of the fraternity itself, the GCB, your Black Lawyers Association, your NADEL, your South African Women Lawyers Association, and your BASABIS. The conversation has got to start. Well, we can't comment much on the development.
No, of course.
There's a whole lot of things that are just coming out in the floor. And I think much as it's unsavory and most of us would wish it away, but it could also be a blessing in disguise and bring about the much, I mean, we've been wanting to see transformation and change in the fraternity. And maybe it's time now that women can be listened to the stories, maybe some investigation to collect different instances and, you know, anonymously to sort of have a feel of what it is like, what women have gone through, the different throughout their lives, and what made many to leave their profession. Those that have survived and are still there, what are the challenges they're facing?
Lots to think about, and I think at least we're starting the conversation going. You know, we will obviously not get through it all at the same time, but I think it's important that we start somewhere. And thank you for highlighting all of those that we need to be considering right now, even ourselves as member of the public. A member of Basadi Bamulao, Advocate Fezega Mahano there, just giving us some things to think about and considering what we are watching right now with the tribunal.
You missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.